And when I start, and when I decide to start to roast, when I was ready to launch my brand, the authorities told me that I cannot do it because the law didn't accept anyone to go and roast unless they have an insurance policy that at the moment will cost me $150,000. The government, because of a poor mentality, I will say, or poor thinking, and the government thinks that the more green coffee we can produce of high quality to export, the better the country, because they will have more US currency to import other things. We never promote the idea of roasting coffees at origin, because we believe that we don't know that, and that the only ones that know it were the consuming countries. But as I said, I have never seen a container of grapes leaving France to make the champagne in New York. Champagne is made in Champagne, France. Coffee needs to be roasted in the producing countries, and that's where the colonization start to appear.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Luis Fernando Velez, founder of Amor Perfecto, decolonized coffee. He joins us from Bogota, Colombia. Welcome, Luis.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Vidya. I'm really happy to talk about our idea of decolonizing coffee and decolonizing the coffee industry.
Coffee is grown all over the world, from Indonesia to South America and everywhere in between. Who were the first people who cultivated coffee?
There are many histories about how coffee was discovered by the humans. There is, to me, the most beautiful story about is the Caldi idea. Yeah, he was a shepherd in the Ethiopian mountains. He saw part of the chips eat a red berry, and when they eat that berry, they came back very excited. Mm-hmm. So he went to take those cherries, and suddenly some of those cherries went into the fire, and all that beautiful smell of the cherries being roasted caught his attention. And since then, as said, the human being is trying to make fit that smell into the taste.
When was that? What year approximately did that happen?
History talk about the idea that it happens about in the 1250 or something like that. And I love that question, because when you think that we have a commercial in the past, that in the sopa, when Jesus Christ was having dinner with the apostles, in the sopa, I said, they drink wine and had bread. Mm-hmm. Maybe the story will be different if they drink coffee.
That's a good one. So when did it come to South America?
It was bring to South America by Dutchmans. It comes first to the Caribbean, and into Colombia it was says that it came with the Jesuits through the Orinoco River. Mm-hmm. And it arrives first to the Department of Santander in Colombia at San Juan de las Palmas. Nowadays, there's people that is saying that at the same time, the British came to Sierra Nevada, Santa Marta, and it was kind of like from the north in Sierra Nevada and in Santander through the Orinoco River. But at the end of the day, it came to Colombia from the north, and it started to spread to the center in Cundinamarca, and then to Antioquia, and then it goes down to the south. And that's one of the most beautiful things of the Colombian coffee, which is that Colombia has coffee from latitude 0 to latitude 11. And if you take all Central America, in all Central America, coffee is grown from Boquete in Panama to Chiapas in Mexico, and there is only 7 degrees of latitude. So Colombia has 4 more latitudes in which we grow coffee, but it's not only that, because Central America has only one mountain range, and the Andes opens in Colombia in 3 completely different branches, the east, the central, and the west. But not only that, at the end, there is the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta, which is a completely different geographical accident in which we also grow coffee.
Talking about the geography, for the listeners who are not familiar with the countries that border you, so you're bordered on Venezuela and East and Ecuador?
Colombia border with the Atlantic Sea, then Venezuela, then Brazil, then Peru, Ecuador, and then the Pacific Ocean.
A really very beautiful, verdant part of the continent.
Yeah, but the beauty of that is that, talking about coffee, there is not any other country with such a diversity. Mm-hmm. Because it has the influences of the Pacific from the west, the Atlantic from the north, all the Amazon region, Brazil, and the Amazon River. But also, when you talk about Colombia, because the Andes, let's say that born in Chile, and it goes up through all the south, but when it arrives to Colombia, it opens in the tree.
So for coffee to grow, I'm assuming you needed a more tropical climate.
Coffee grows in the tropics.
And you talked about the Sierra Madres and all the other different mountain ranges. Why is that important? Is it because of the terrace plantation?
Not the terrace plantation, but the different levels of the land. And remember that the Arabica coffee needs to be planted up to 1,300 and 1,400. Because Robusta grows from 200 to 900, but Arabica's grown from 1,300 to 2,000. So when you have 3 different mountain ranges from the Andes plus the Sierra Nevada, it means that you have a completely different variety of possibilities, landscapes, and microclimates, and different sea levels to grow the coffee.
So that's a perfect segue for us. What are the most popular types of varieties of coffee? You know,
when you talk about coffee, there are 2 main families, the Robusta family and the Arabica family. And as you may know, out of the Arabicas, there are a lot of different coffee tree families, mm-hmm. which is Tipica, Bourbon, Castillo, and then there are a lot of, I mean, there are some that 100% natural breed, but also LAF breed. Colombia has an institution that is called Semicafé that has been working in varieties resistant to the rust leaf. Rust leaf is a very complex fungus that destroy the coffee plantations, especially in the humid times. We all know that the main thing to develop fungus is when you have humidity. So when you have humidity, the fungus is very easy to spread. But not only that, if you haven't feed the plant enough, if you haven't put enough fertilizer, and if the plant is not strong, then the rust leaf will arrive and destroy it. Mm-hmm. So Colombia create a lot of different varieties resistant to the rust leaf, like Variedad Colombia, and there are a lot of different Castillos. So Colombia has nowadays almost all kind of varieties that are part of the family of the Robusta. And so we have Tipica, Bourbon, Maragogipe, Caturra, Pacamaras that was developed in Salvador, We have geishas, we have eugenoides, we have many, many different varieties. But the main variety, the most popular one, is the resistant to the rose leaf, which is the Castillo and the Variedad Colombia.
So our family, when I grew up in India, we are from South India, where we primarily drink coffee. Coffee is almost a religion, and we roasted our own beans. My mom would go to the coffee cooperative, buy the beans and roast it. But each family would have a different blend of coffee beans that they would put. Mom would do Arabica and pea berry, and my in-laws would mix pea berry, Arabica, and a little bit of chicory. So do you have pea berry? Pea berry is a hybrid, right?
What I know about pea berry is not that it's a variety. Pea berry is a kind of bean that comes out of the plants when the plant is a little bit old. And that happens when the berry doesn't open in two seeds, but only in one seed. Mm-hmm. So that in the past, pea berries was kind of like we lost the pea berries into the low qualities. Because when you start to sort the different sizes, the small ones goes with the leftovers. But at some point, somebody says, look, we are missing these small seeds that are really good, but because of the classification in the size, we are losing them. And finally, what happened is that somebody says, let's take the pea berries apart. But if you have Arabica pea berries, is not a variety. Any variety of Arabica can produce pea berries. But the point is that those pea berries are really nice coffees if you do all the process in a good way. Because remember that geography and climate, it's only 40% of the total result of the coffee, of the quality of the cup. Because 60% is all the job that the coffee grower makes in the after harvest or the post harvest, and not even the post harvest. 60% is all the job that the coffee grower does since the point of the picking.
And actually, what you say about pea berry is really accurate, because I remember the seed almost looks like it's a half.
Yeah.
We call it in Tamil, the language that my family speaks, it's called tattai, which means flat, flat seeds, you know. And so what are the processes that takes the green beans to the coffee that we know?
One of the most important changes in the coffee industry in the last 15 years in Colombia, I would say, is that coffee growers realized that if they wanted to have high quality coffee, or a coffee with a score up to 85, they need to pick the cherry at the perfect ripeness. And how to measure when the perfect ripeness is not something just according with the tradition.